Sfarno Parshas Chukas Balak. So the Sfarno starts Parshas Chukas. Of course, the Parsha begins with the Paraduma. So the Sfarno says that we all know the Paraduma is a chok. It's something we can't really understand. However, we can take whatever we can take from it. So he says there's a remez we can see from the Paraduma, and that is as follows. He says you have to think about a few things. Number one, a Paraduma is red, and red represents sin. Like we have on Yom Kippur, right? Yom Kippur, they have that string tied on the goat's head, and it's red, and if Klal Yisrael's kapara, it's their tshuva, their avodah, if everything is accepted, so the string turns white, and that's because red represents sin, and white represents kapara, and whatever. So, Tara, so the red represents sin. So the Paraduma is red, that's number one. Number two, the making of the Paraduma, so you have to burn the Paraduma and get its ashes, and you throw in there an Azov and an Erez. So Azov is a hyssop, whatever it is, some very low plant, and an Erez, which is a super tall plant, which are two opposites. That's the second thing. And you mix with them in the water, once you get the ashes, you mix with them in the water, water and ashes, which also are not a mix. And it only is matire people who are tummy mace, specifically. They are impure because they touched something, a dead person, a dead yid. And also, everyone who deals, the main part that's the chok, is everyone who deals with making the paraduma is tummy, except the person who sprinkles it, basically. Also, if you're putting the water in first, but basically the person who sprinkles it. What is that all a hint to? So the Sfarno says it's trying to tell us the following. That, when a person, that whole idea that mitami tameim and mitahar tahorim, where do you find that in our world? It said by medicine, right? Medicine, if somebody is sick and they take medicine, they get better. Very often, if someone is not sick and they take medicine, they will get worse. Right? If the person doesn't need the medicine, it's not helpful. But sometimes when they need the medicine, then it's good. Dumb example, someone takes insulin who doesn't need insulin. You know, it's not helpful. It's supposed to help your body when there's a deficiency, but if you're adding it and the person doesn't need it, it'll make it worse. So anyway, if that's an example. If some we're mitami tamei mitaratorium, you can have the same item, and if someone's sick, it's helpful for them. If they're not sick, it'll first make them sick. Okay, so he says by a person's supposed to go in the middle of the road, not to be kitzoni, not to be too much one way or the other, except when they've sinned. So the example of that is the Azov and the Erez. So the cedar tree is super tall. That represents extreme gaiva, haughtiness. Then you have the Azov, which is super low, which is extreme humility. So the Sfarno says that, I don't know if the Rambam would agree with this, but the Sfarno says that that's not good either. He says, particularly if the person is in any position of Rabbanus, they can't be too humble, like Shaul or whatever was too humble. Can't be too humble, certainly, he says, if you're in a position of leadership, at least. But in general, so being extremes are not good. Except when the person is a sinner in one way. So if a person's a Baal Gaiva, then it is appropriate for them to be a super humble person, or if they get very angry, then it's important for them to never get angry. Whatever it is, you have to go to the extreme opposite to get yourself back to the middle. Like a sick person has to sometimes take things to make up for deficiencies. So if you want to, if someone is messed up in one way, he has to go to the extreme, she has to go to the extreme, the other way. Until they get better. Then once they get better, they have to stick in the middle path. So he says that's the Azov and the Erez is a remez to extremes that this person may need to go, and the Afer and the Mayim, he says, also don't mix, but when you put them together, it's in the middle, I guess that's what he's saying, becomes one thing that you sprinkle on the guy, that's to show him that once he is better, he should be in the middle path of a mix of not extremes. And everyone who deals with it becomes Tameh, except for the person who sprinkles it. He says, that's a remez to the Talmidei Chachamim. People who teach you what to do, they don't become Tameh. And why is it that this is Tumas Meis? Because he says, we're talking about this sin is typically going too much after Gashmias and not after Rechnias, and someone who's going after the physical world is considered like dead, as opposed to a Yid, who is, because Tumas Meis is only from a Yid, right? So let's assume that for now. So the Iker certainly Tumas Meis is from a Yid, and a Jew is someone who's using their life for Ruchnis. That's what it's supposed to be. And a Meis is someone who has no Ruchnis. It's only physicality. So someone who's into physicality too much is like that dead person, like, and they get that tuma, and they become tahor by sometimes being extreme for a little while, and then taking the middle of the road. That's what he says is the remnants from the paraduma. Okay, then we have the same story with Moshe hitting the rock. So there's, as we know, the Mefarshim go out, a lot of Mefarshim, different explanations of what the sin was of Moshe hitting the rock. And it says, Ya'an Asher Elohim, Mantim Bi L'Hakti Sheni, Hashem says, you Moshe, you didn't trust me to be Mekadesh me in front of Klal Yisrael. So, the Sfarno says that there are three different types of Nisim. Nis number one is not much of a Nis. It's not raining, and everyone does tshuva and it starts raining. That's a Nis Nister. Because there's no reason it should have started raining just because you did tshuva or davened or whatever. And yet it does. That's like a Nis Nister. Then there's a Nis Nigla, where a miracle happens. But there's two different levels of Nis Nisters. There's one kind of Nis Nister where Moshe takes his stick and hits the water. So something physical happened, and now the water turns to blood. So obviously it's a complete miracle. But there was some physical stuff that went on. Someone smacked the water. There was something physical you could see. Or by Kriyas Yamsuf, there was, wind came the whole night and blew it apart. I don't know if that's a great example. But the point is, certainly Nisim, where the person who's supposed to do the Nis has to do some physical action, that's a lower level Nis Nigla than the full Nis Nigla is where you do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You just say, this will now happen, and boom, it happens. That's the higher level Nis. So the Nis with the rock was supposed to be the highest level Nis, where Moshe just talks to it. And the Sfarno adds that this was not regular water either, which is an interesting addition. The water that came out of the rock was not water that, like, just, some canal got sucked into this rock like it was some water magnet or whatever. It was that the rock turned to water. Got that? The rock itself turned to water, and it was miraculous water, because we'll see at the end of the parasha, according to the Sfarno, that it says, at the end of the parasha, it talks about, Mibamos Hagai, that talks about the water that went with them, it went up too, like water normally only travels down. When Klal Yisrael went up, the water went up with them, because it was not normal water, it was miraculous water, and it didn't just go down, it went up too. It went up whenever it needed to go up. It was totally miraculous water. The whole point of this was to show, because Klal Yisrael was complaining, like Moshe was a bad leader, why'd you take us to this horrible midbar and all that? So Hashem wanted to show everybody that this is my chosen leader. Therefore, Hashem wanted it to be the highest level Nes. However, remember Moshe said to them, Shemu na hamarim, you rebellious ones, Moshe didn't believe that Hashem would do this level miracle for them at this time, because they had sinned and hadn't done tshuva. They were still morim. They were still rebellious. So that's, Moshe didn't believe Hashem would do what he said, because he said they had sinned right now. In other words, it's not that Hashem, not that Moshe didn't trust Hashem, but there's a thing called Shema Yegro Machet, and he thought Klal Yisrael was still morim, and Hashem wouldn't do that highest level nes at this time until they did tshuva, so they hit the rock. And that's what Hashem says, Yana Sher Elohim Mantim Bilakti Sheni. You didn't believe me to be Mekadesh me more fully and to show, because Hashem wanted to do it, even if they weren't right, to show that the highest level is to show that Moshe is his full Shliach. Okay, that's how he understands the Chait. And then again, it says, Vayikadesh Bam, Hashem was Mekadesh with the water. That is, like he said, it was super miraculous water. Okay, then we have the death of Aaron, where Aaron takes off. So it says, Vilbashta es Elazar. So Aaron came to his, right, he went to go die. So he came in the Shmona Begadim, he came in the 8 clothes that a Kohen Gadol wears, and he took it off to give to Elazar. This is all up here, deeper. Normally you can't just walk around with the Shmona Begadim, but the Kohen Gadol, Aaron, took off the four begotten and gave it to Elazar. And the Sfarno says that left Aaron with four begotten. But the Sfarno says, you know, the Kohen Gadol, when he goes, Lifnayim, Lifnin, and Yom Kippur also only wears four begotten. So he said, again, I don't know exactly what Aaron was wearing, but he said he now became, Aaron was now at the level of not Kohen Gadol, higher than Kohen Gadol, like Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Because Aaron was about to get Mises Neshikas. He was like at the level of a Kohen Gadol that goes into the base, goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he had his four begonim still on him, because it sounds like those were the four begonim that one walks into in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was at that level at that time. Okay, moving on to Parshas Balak. So it says, Vayagar Moav. And it also says Vayikatz Moav. So the Sfarno explains that Vayogar Moav were the rulers of Moav. They were afraid of Klai Yishal. They wouldn't let them go through. That's them. Then the Vayikatz Moav, that's the Hamonam, the people. The people were disgusted because of Klai Yisrael, because Klai Yisrael was Sholim Abozim Osam. It sounds like small raids. Where they would fight with the Moavim a little bit. So the Hamonam did not appreciate perhaps what the people in charge of Moav did, that they didn't let Klai Yisrael go through. So they bore the brunt of it, because Klai Yisrael was not allowed to go to open war with Moav, but they were allowed to be Sholem Abozim, again, some small raids or something like that. Okay. Now, Balak sends for Bilav, and he says, I know I heard about you, that Asher Tevarech Mevarech Asher Taor you are. Whoever you bless will be blessed, and whoever you curse will be cursed. So the Sfarno says this was just like a talk. Balak did not believe for a second that Bilav had any special ability to bless anyone. He was known for cursing. That's what he was famous for. That's what Balak was hiring Bilav for, to curse the Jews. He says, I know whoever you bless will be blessed, but the Sfarno says, that can't mean he took that seriously. At no point do we see Balak said, bless me and my soldiers that we should win. That never happened. He just said, curse the Jews. Because that's what Balaam was famous for. So he just, Lechvon Balaam, rather, he said, but that was baloney. It was really, he was known for cursing, and that is very relevant later on in the parsha. Okay, but we'll get to that later. So then the people come, and Balak has a dream where Hashem tells him to not go with them. And Sfarno explains, even not to curse them, just they don't need Yirayin Hara. But then when they come back again, Hashem tells him he could go. Im lekro lecha ba'an Hashem. So the Sfarno explains that means if they just came to ask you Eitza, that's what that means. Then you go with them to give them Eitza to not make a mistake or not sin or whatever. But then, of course, Hashem gets mad at him because that's not why he went. He went to go do the wrong thing. Okay, so a malach tries to stop him. So now, Bilam doesn't see this malach. Why doesn't Bilam see the malach? So the Sfarno quotes a Gemara. It's in Brachos, Mem Gimel Amid Beis, that says that if you're with someone, you won't see, you're not allowed to go out late at night by yourself. Where it says, if you go with one person, bad stuff can happen. If you go with two people, you'll see the shade or whatever this mazik is, but it won't do anything. With two, you could see it, but won't do anything. And with three, you won't see it at all. So it's the pasuk says that when Bilam left, it was v'hu rochev al asono u'shnei na'arav imo. That means there were three people. So therefore, Bilam was not going to see anything. He wasn't going to see any malach. And it certainly wasn't going to harm him. But the malach had come there just to make it that the donkey would not be comfortable, and then it would give Bilam a hard time. And then Bilam would do his usual nichush, which is, oh, it looks like this is not going to be a good trip for me, and go home. But the pasuk says, Vatelech basade. After that, the donkey went to the field. So as Sfarno understands, his two Na'arim didn't go with him. His two Na'arim stayed on the regular path. He went in the field because that's where his donkey was going, so he was stuck following the donkey. And then he's by himself. Then by Yamun Malach Hashem, and eventually he sees the Malach. Okay, now of course he only saw the Malach after Hashem opened his eyes. Okay, I guess you would say that that's the way and reason it happened. Anyway, the Ason, the donkey, opens his mouth and talks to Bilam. Why did Hashem decide to choose that kind of ace? So it was to show Bilam that, you see, who's the one who controls speech? Me. So be careful what you say. That was the point. Okay, then Bilam says, pick a place to curse the Jews, where you could see some of them, Ephes Katzeo Tira V'chula Lo Sira, but don't see all of them. Why? So the Sfarno explains, because you can never get at all the Jews. You can't. Hashem will never destroy the entire Jewish people, but you could maybe curse a little bit of them, because all of them never going to happen. Okay, and as we know, Bilam then blesses them and says, Ta'afos Re'aim Lo, which the Sfarno explains that it's like a Re'aim with his horns, it pushes off, but doesn't kill and eat and right, like a lion or something. Because Klal Yisrael was not trying to, they weren't like that. When they were going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, they weren't trying to, the goal wasn't to wipe them all out, it was that they should all leave. And originally that was supposed to be the plan, that they would be, Hashem would make an ace, they'd all be afraid of the Jewish people and leave. And they were always given that option, that Yoshua always gave everyone that option to get out of there. It's just if they decided they wanted to fight, then they killed every one of them. But they didn't use their stuff, though. It was not like a lion that eats and destroys and consumes. They were just push off. That's all they wanted to do. Okay. And then this is one of my favorite parts of the Sfarno in the whole parsha. It's really Gishmak, which is, so Bilam keeps asking Balak keeps asking Bilam to curse the Jews, and Bilam keeps failing. And Balak says, okay, try here, try here, try there, try there. All of a sudden, the last time when it happens, all of a sudden Balak says, okay, he like, that's it. He gets all upset, all angry. I told you not to bless the Jews, and I hired you to curse the Jews, you're blessing the Jews, what are you doing? What happened? You know, this happened already a few times. Why? What was said at the last time that made Balak so upset? So Sfarno says a beautiful pshat. He said, "We said that Balak never took Bilam's ability to bless seriously at all. He could care less if he blessed the Jews. His blessing didn't bother him. So he just kept trying. Hey, you can't curse him from there. Try to curse him from here. Can't curse him there. Go there." He had no problem if he was trying to bless the Jews, it didn't mean anything. He just wanted him to curse the Jews, so if he wasn't succeeding, okay. So we could try somewhere else, maybe work here. But at the last time that Bilam said something about the Jews, he said, his last words were, Kara shachev kariach lavi mi kemenam vavarchecha varuch. This is Bilam talking about the Jews. Those who bless you, we bless. And those who curse you will be cursed. So when Balak heard that Bilam just said, the last thing Bilam just said, all of a sudden he said that whoever curses the Jews will be cursed. The next words are, all of a sudden Balak freaks out. Because now, one second, that is what Bilam is good at, cursing people. And now he just cursed anyone who curses the Jews. At that point, Balak says, okay, thank you very much, we're done. Balak, go home before I kill you. So that's why he got all upset, because once, this is the first time that Bilam added a curse, and it was a curse against those who cursed the Jews. That, Balak took very seriously, and that's why he sent them home. Okay, then we have the Chet with the Bnos Moav, and in Pasuk Dalet it says, Ve'yomer Shal Moshe kachet kol Rashi Yom Ha'okah Sam L'Hashem Neged HaShemesh. Put it, Neged HaShemesh. So the Sfarno says, Neged HaShem means in front of everybody. And go kill all the people who were worshipping Baal Peor. So the Sfarno says that this was a kapara on all the people who watched people sin with Baal Peor and didn't say anything, because this way they would see them being killed and they also don't say anything, that's a kapara on them. Which is exactly what it says by the Eagle. When the Levium went and killed the people who worshipped the idol, this is a kapara on everybody else who watched and did nothing, because now they'll see them being killed and they're watching and do nothing, so that's a kapara on them.